to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey everybody, it's the Puck Guys. We're back. Jason, Patrick, and Eddie here to bring you our 31 and 30. That's where we break down each team in a mini pod over 30 days for you. Today we got the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yesterday was the Flyers. We're just going by order in which they finished in the division. So, guys, Eddie, we found out, is a secret closet Flyers fan.
All the way. Hardcore.
Hardcore. Yeah. Having him first in the division. Today we got the Blue Jackets, which I kind of looked at, and it was just kind of a head-scratcher. But to kick them off here, they finished 45-30-7 with 97 points. Lost to the Washington Capitals. They gave the Caps a scare in six games. I mean, they came out and won the first two. Everyone kind of shit their pants in D.C. It was like, oh, are you kidding me?
It's happening again.
Again and again is what always happens. Blue Jackets were not able to pull that off. Going into the offseason, they were only able to add a couple of guys of note, Riley Nash and Anthony Duclair. I do declare, as we've heard 100 times around the world. Subtractions from the team is Matt Calvert, Ian Cole, which is one of Eddie's favorites, and then Jack Johnson, who went to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Eddie, let's start with you, my friend. How do you feel this overall roster outlook is going for the Columbus Blue Jackets this season?
I think they look okay. I mean, their offense centers around Artemi Panarin again, and I'm sure we'll get into it later, but all the questions around him, if he's still going to be there, whether if he's there when the season starts or if he's still there at the deadline. I mean, there's a lot of questions on his status with the team, but he's the go-to guy, and the top line looks good. I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois is finally coming out and really being the guy they thought they drafted when they drafted him third overall, and they've got him with Cam Atkinson and Panarin on the top line, so they've got a go-to line there, and then having Wennberg and Jenner and Foligno and Anderson and Bjorkstrand and all those guys in their top nine, they've got a pretty good forward lineup, and I like the addition of Riley Nash and Anthony Duclair to kind of fill out the depth spots. And they've got some good young guys in the minors and Vitaly Abramov as well. So they've got a lot of good young players. The question is if they can kind of piece them all together where it's going to work. And, you know, they had a pretty good season last year, but now not only is the forward line's younger, you know, losing Ian Cole and Jack Johnson makes their blue line even younger as well. And I really don't know if they're going to be able to figure everything out.
Yeah, building on that, losing Ian Cole and Jack Johnson, Ian Cole kind of helped serve a purpose on the second line playing with Ryan Murray that really helped kind of be a shutdown line and allowed the coach Tortorella to be able to use Werenski and Seth Jones on one line and be kind of a super offensive, push the pace front line with the likes of Dubois and then Atkinson and Panarin. I mean, that's a good top first line, but now I think they might realize that without having Cole there or even possibly Jack Johnson, there's just nothing that makes that line much more of a shutdown line. Savard probably slides into that right defensive position, but I think they're a little bit weaker on that end. In my opinion, the forward depth has spots that are good, but Wennberg took a step back last season. He wasn't nearly as productive or in there as he could be, given the fact if you look at their top five point getters from last season, he's not even in there. You have 82 points from Panarin doing Panarin things. Their next highest point getter is their defenseman, Seth Jones, who's, you know, in there for the Norris Trophy talk. But after that, they don't have anyone who even hit 49 points. So, I mean, there's a lot of depth scoring around that's going to be a little bit of a struggle for them. I think there's also some problems there with their special teams, 25th on the power play, 27th on the penalty kill. I mean, that's rough. You can't have those bottom sixth numbers and expect to be in the playoffs every single year. They barely kind of squeak in on that wild card spot. But then you add into that Panarin doesn't even seem like he wants to sign. He said he's not going to talk about it. Doesn't want to talk or communicate with the organization about
Russians don't play in Middle America, my friend. They play on the coast.
Right?
Play on the coast.
And there is talk. His main thing, he wants to go and play with the Rangers, even though
beautiful, right? He wants to play in Manhattan.
But the other thing, too, is on the other side, you have Bravado. Burakovsky, obviously one of the best goalies in the entire
Panarin's
league.
Darren's in his ear, man. He's like, come on, bro.
Now, at least he's gone to the table. Reports are that he's been at the table, but the gap between what he wants and what Columbus wants is far. The only difference is Columbus has a little bit more of leverage with him because there aren't too many teams that can pick up someone who's going to make what he's going to make on the next contract, which is around 10 mil. Or if not more.
That's insane.
Hold on, I'll get to that in a second. But so there's not a whole lot of teams that don't already have a number one goalie, or even if they do and they'd rather have Burakovsky, if they have the room to actually bring in that contract. The reason he's going to get north of 10.5, I'm talking, you just wait your turn.
It's insane to even get that far because we're talking about the forwards here, and if you look at the forward group, there's really not a lot to be happy about. I mean, honestly, look at Artemi Panarin. That's great. And, of course, it's amazing. Cam Atkinson's good for 40, 50 points a season. That's also great. Pierre-Luc Dubois, sure, you want to throw him up there and say he's amazing, too, of 48, 50 points. Not a bad top line, especially when I'm a finisher like Panarin. Not a big deal. The second line and third line, they're kind of like, holy shit, you guys don't have any depth. You really don't have any depth. And if you lose a star player like Artemi Panarin, he's going to get Kucherov money. Let's be honest about that. He's going to get paid. And then you look at a guy like Bobrovsky, who the hell is high enough is going to pay someone $10.5 million to be a goaltender unless you're Mark Bergevin?
That's the thing, though, is that's what he's going to probably try.
Who is going to pay him?
For. Oh, someone that wants a two-time Vezina winner.
Is a goalie. Exactly. He's a two-time Vezina winner.
Ottawa?
He's one of the he's one of the only guys who can command that type of money. It was really probably the only reason, other than Artemi Panarin, that Columbus even made the playoffs last year. Should have got a nod for the Vezina last year, but he didn't. He's going to be worth
$10 million?
Well, yeah. Look at a team like that we'll talk about in a couple days in the Carolina Hurricanes, and what they really only need now is goaltending, and they have a ton of cap space to make it work. I'm sure they'll pay him $10 million if that's what gets them over the hump. Who wouldn't want a two-time Vezina winner if it's all they really need to make a push for the Stanley Cup?
Playoffs. Bob is not good in the playoffs.
The team is not good in the playoffs.
True, very true. But Bob is not good in the playoffs. Yeah. That's been highly noted around the league. And if you want to bag on anybody, he's one of those guys you got to look at his postseason stats and be like, all right, Bobby, you look pretty good in the regular season. I mean, damn good in the regular season, but in the playoffs.
Look at the same. You can say the same thing as Carey Price. I mean, that they haven't really gone and done much in the playoffs, if at all in the playoffs, if they even make it to the playoffs.
Take PK Subban off my team and see how well I do. Huh? Right.
So the other thing, all these things are kind of hovering over a Columbus team that, quite frankly, not last year, but the year before, surprised everyone and was one of the top teams in the Metro. And then this year, it kind of made it in there, but now there's a ton of questions that's just going to linger over the team until Panarin is either traded or something.
He's gone, or
Bravosky, re-signs. So these are the off-ice things that will affect on-ice play, and you need a lot of those guys to kind of have their head right. As far as the Boone Jenner, you want to see him maybe get back to where he was. He's digressed a little bit, but I mean, he's a guy that also I think put up close to 40 goals one season, like a couple seasons back. So you kind of need some of those guys, and I think their defense is probably going to get shaken up. You're not going to have Werenski and Seth Jones on the top line. I think, unfortunately, given the lack of shutdown defensemen, they're going to have to move one of those puck-moving defensemen and split them up. And Torts doesn't want to do it, but his hand is kind of forced in that point.
He's not going to. I don't think it's going to happen, and I feel like Tortorella is stuck in his ways. It's the way it's going to be. They went on a crazy run last year, right? Weren't they the team that went kind of went crazy and won a bunch of games?
Or am I thinking the season before? There was a few. They had like a 10-game winning streak. Or
so, I mean, let's just say what it is. Panarin's not going to be there. He's done. I imagine he doesn't like John Tortorella. And for some reason in my head, every time I think Tortorella, I want to say Barry Trotz. And it's like, no, idiot, say Tortorella.
You say Tortorella, and I think tortellini for some
tortellini?
Reason.
Tortellini? Well, yeah. Well, it's nice to think of pasta. Maybe he's Italian. I don't really feel like that's going to work out for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And just all being said, he's coming out and saying it's not going to work out for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Do you trade this guy early, or you try to ride him to the playoffs and then trade with a deadline? He's going to be gone. And so with that hole in your offense, you look at what's going on here in Columbus otherwise. They finished last season 17th in goals for, and I don't see that getting any better. They added Anthony Duclair and Riley Nash. Those are bottom six players.
Show me contracts,
or
too.
Bottom six players. I don't really feel like they're going to be doing much in the way of moving the needle for them offensively. this team is going to take a step back this year for sure, and especially if there's all that trouble with Panarin and Panarin doesn't want to perform. He's going to go the way of Ryan Johansson and get traded out. Something's going to happen there, and I don't think it's going to be a good deal for Columbus. I actually just have them maybe making the playoffs, maybe not making the playoffs. I think I have them finishing fifth. I don't know where you guys have them or what your take is so far, Eddie, on the Panarin deal, but I definitely have them going fifth.
I think there's too many ifs around this team. I mean, the first one, like you said, centers around Panarin, if he's actually going to be there. I don't think he is, whether it's the start of the season or the deadline. At some point, he's going to be dealt out. And then the ifs around Dubois and Wennberg and the young guys in Milano and Borgstrand, are they going to be able to take a step forward? We really don't know. I think the only thing that is really solidified with this team is knowing if Werenski and Jones are together, then they're going to be good. And that's pretty much it. I mean, even questions surrounding Bobrovsky, if he's going to be there the entire season or not, being a pending UFA, if they decide to move on from him or whatever they decide to do with him. There's too many ifs. I still have them finishing fifth. You know, whether that's a wild card spot or out of the playoffs, I think they'll be kind of close and around there because they do have some talent. But There's too many question marks to really say that they can move in front of the teams we have in front of them right now.
Where do you guys feel like Bobrovsky's going to go if he doesn't stay with Columbus? Honestly, I mean, Jay, you mentioned who's going to pay him, somebody with cap space.
Yeah.
Where does he really want to go is the big question one, right? If they're that far apart on the table, I wonder if they're lowballing the hell out of him or if he's just asking for too much.
Well, I mean, obviously, he deserves what – I mean, he's going to look at the league for a comparative level. And at this point, both in style-wise, his production, and everything else, he's right on par with Carey Price. So he's going to look at Carey Price numbers. So it's not too far-fetched to go, wow, he's really overreaching what he's really worth. I mean, I can't see him signing, you know, much less than $10 million just because his accolades are kind of there as well with the two Vezina wins. So I don't know exactly where he goes. That'll all kind of have to pan out. Obviously, maybe some money is held or something like that. But Columbus is in kind of a tough spot anyways in that they don't have a ton of draft picks coming up. They don't have a second round next year. They don't have a third round the following year. So they may actually look to get more of the draft picks to try and maybe start a rebuild. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of star talent that really wants to stay in Columbus. So this little two-season stint where they did really well, I think it's kind of floundering out. I actually have them missing the playoffs. I mean, they barely made the playoffs this year. I don't think they get better. They still have Bob. That's a pro. They have an elite top two defenseman. But their cons is their forward depth, their defensive depth after their top two, the contract issue, and their special teams are just god-awful, and they're not any better. So I got them finishing sixth in the division, I think a couple of spots out of a wild card spot.
Where do you have the Blue Jackets, Eddie?
I have them fifth in the division, and I think ultimately they probably miss out in the playoffs. I honestly don't see why there's any reason Bobrovsky would want to stick around. I mean, I know you asked on what team he could go to. I think, you know, the only two that really make sense are up-and-coming young teams that have some cap space, so maybe the Sabres or the Hurricanes, and maybe they can work
something
out with... Yeah, maybe, where they can give him some money. I think the Coyotes probably want to see what they have in Antti Raanta and go from there, yeah, and go through a whole season with that. But there's not too many options if he really wants to make $10 million. I mean, it's either stay with Columbus or go to maybe one of the two teams that I mentioned. And I think Panarin is a for sure that he's not going to finish the season with the Blue Jackets. And it's probably about 50-50 on Bobrovsky. And even just having that uncertainty surrounding it is going to make it tough for both him and for the team. So I don't see how they make the playoffs, especially if they lose one or both of those guys.
That is so much money to pay a goalie. I would never pay a goalie that much money. That's insane. Yeah. 8 years, $80 million
That's
for a
racist.
Guy. He's already 30.
But you'll pay a forward.
He's already 30. I wouldn't pay a forward that much money at 30. I think that's insane. I think that even though goalies take longer to develop and get into their prime.
That might play an effect.
I mean, maybe he shouldn't have sucked when he was in Philly, and he would be a better off goaltender financially if he performed then rather than now.
Why isn't everyone as great as Wayne Gretzky when they enter the league?
Right, well, because no one's as good as Mary Lemieux, greatest hockey player ever.
Also on that note, too, this is a contract year for Torts. So what I love about this.
Greatest American coach of all time.
What I love about this is that the second they start to falter, you are going to see so many episodes of him just blowing up, losing his mind, speaking off the cuff. And he talks about it. He goes, I know I need to get that in control, but I think people respect that I don't really hide.
I respect it. I like it. I love you, Tortorella.
I love it.
I want to see more dressing room brawls with Bob Hartley.
If only he was still
in the league.
Any excuse to drop the F-bomb on the show to repeat after John Tortorella or mock him.
Yeah. Quick question. Do you think he's first one to go?
Tortorella?
As a coach?
First coach.
For the season coming up?
Holy shit.
No.
I think if there's, I won't say super struggling,
who's
but
more on fire? Who else is on fire right now?
Carlisle could be.
I was going to say Randy.
But not as much as Torts. I mean,
I
especially.
Guess the teams that were really bad have already replaced their coaches, right? So
yeah, for the most part.
That may be Ottawa.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. Jesus. Guy Boucher. Poor guy. Entire fire. They should fire your email first.
I don't know. I'm going to throw my hat in there. I think Torts is the first guy fired.
Yeah, that's actually.
And I will go on the record as saying you should never pay a goalie $10 million a year ever in his career. The salary cap's $150 million a year.
Well, they're also, expecting the salary cap to increase year after year.
That's insane, though. Why pay a guy who has to basically destroy his hips and knees day in and day out? $10 million a year.
Remember when guys are getting paid $7-8 million? You go, what the hell is going on? Is everyone lost their mind?
Yeah, we're
getting
paid $6 million. I'm like, are you serious?
Now everyone looks back and like, oh man, what a great signing.
It's a great deal. Brent Seabrook or Duncan Keith, greatest deal in hockey.
$5.5 million.
So forever. Well, we all have them at or near the playoffs or missing the playoffs. It's all right on the cusp. Everyone, this is a bubble team going into next season. So we thank you guys for tuning in. You know where to find us, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, The Puck Guys. And we'll be back tomorrow with another one of our 31 and 30s. And have a great night, everybody. Bye, guys.